Welcome, everyone. I'm Shania Bailey, and this is Centennial College Radio News. It's 4 o'clock, and here's what's happening today in sports. Tonight, the Vancouver Canucks will face off against the Anaheim Ducks at 10. The game will take place at the Ducks' home, the Honda Center. This is game 2 in the series in which the Ducks are leading 1-0. The Canucks will be trying to make a comeback to tie up the series, and at the same time, the Ducks will be looking to keep the home ice advantage before they head to Vancouver. The battle continues tonight as the heavily favored Sabres host the New York Rangers. Tonight, the puck drops at the HSBC Arena. Game 1 was marked by a slew of defensive errors by the Rangers, which cost them the game. We'll see if they can redeem themselves tonight. Today is an off day for the Ottawa Senators, but tomorrow their quest for the Cup continues. The Sens will be in New Jersey tomorrow night trying for a 2-0 lead over the Rangers. And tonight in the NBA, that Vince sanity continues. The Toronto Raptors are playing against the New Jersey Nets at 7. Hoop fans are eagerly waiting to see who will win tonight's game to break the 1-1 tie of the series. The Raptors will be in New Jersey going up against their former teammate Vince Carter. Jell-O wrestling just isn't what it used to be. Nikki A., her last name is being held for personal reasons, found out the hard way. At a friend's birthday party, Nikki participated in a Jell-O wrestling match. It was all fun and games until a picture of Nikki and her wayward nipple appeared on various photo websites. Briar Lee speaks to Nikki about her unwanted brush with notoriety.
It's not just celebrities who have to worry about unflattering photos. Pictures of Nikki taking part in a Jell-O wrestling match turned up on the internet. She found out the hard way how privacy is becoming a thing of the past.
A couple months back, my friend decided he was going to have an amazing 27th birthday bash. Actually, might have been turning 28. And he decided he was going to have Jell-O wrestling.
Nikki decided to be adventurous and took part in the Jell-O wrestling.
So I decided to be a good friend and be the first victim along with another girl.
Nikki says there wasn't really anything sexual about the match.
I was doing it just for the experience of saying I could Jell-O wrestle so I could look back when I was older and say, yeah, when I was 24, I Jell-O wrestled.
Unbeknownst to Nikki, some sex did manage to creep into the match.
Someone actually managed to catch me popping out.
Nikki had no intention of being construed as a sexual object. And to make matters worse, the photos were put on the internet.
What bothered me was within the context of that one photo for that split-second frame, I came across like a whore, basically.
Nikki tracked down the photographers and asked them to take the photos down.
He also apologized. The difference is he didn't even ask anybody's permission at all. Well, as the original guy, at least got permission from one. Not that that makes it that much better.
Nikki learned a tough and somewhat unfair lesson.
I can't blame anybody but myself because I should have realized going into this that there were going to be pictures taken. And I was aware that photos were being taken. I just didn't think that they were going to be posted on Flickr.
This is Briar Lees for Radio Centennial College News.
This is a Centennial College Radio breaking news bulletin. Now, live to the newsroom.
This just in, a major section of the new stadium to house Toronto's professional soccer team has collapsed. Witnesses told CTV News that they heard a large noise and then saw the east wall of the stadium crash to the ground in a pile of rubble. The new BMO Stadium along the lakeshore was built for Toronto FC. The soccer club has its home opening game tomorrow afternoon in the city. It's not known yet if there have been any injuries, but the team was scheduled to practice there today in preparation for tomorrow's game. Stay with Centennial College News for more on this developing story. In baseball, tonight's matchup features the Blue Jays versus the Texas Rangers. The Blue Jays are just coming off their AL East road trip in which they played 500 ball. The Jays are looking to gain some ground on the division, leading Red Sox, who are facing their rival Yankees again this evening. And that's all from the world of sports. Shayla will have all the buzz from Hollywood. Shayla?
A community center in Scarborough was ringing in the new year a few weeks early this year. The Chinese Cultural Center at Shepherd and Progress Avenue decided to throw an advanced celebration with a performance by a world-famous ballerina.
For Lewis Chinese Tan reports. New Year. East meets West for Chinese New Year at the Chinese Cultural Center in Scarborough. Never mind that Chinese New Year is still weeks away. The center has decided to throw an advanced celebration. But instead of line dances and firecrackers, the show will be a performance of ballet, something North Americans are very familiar with. A world-renowned ballerina, Chan Han Go, is to perform at the center's newly built PC Ho Theater, according to marketing manager Vincent Ng. She's a Chinese, and well, we are so proud of her. And so if we are having her in the Chinese Cultural Center to perform something that can absorb both the Chinese and non-Chinese to the center, I think it's a good thing. Yo immigrated from China some 30 years ago during a government coup. She is now a principal dancer with the National Ballet of Canada. She will be performing Swan Lake, along with other dancers from the National Ballet of Canada.
That's why I only met her once at the press conference. The only thing I can say is she's really nice, she's really kind, and she's really beautiful.
If you are planning to see Miss Go, however, you'd better hurry on this one. 90% of the tickets have already been sold out. And pack some cash too, because tickets cost anywhere from $40 to $100. The show starts at 7:30. This is Lewis Tam reporting for Centennial College Radio News.
The Phantom of the Opera was the longest-running musical in Toronto. Now, this Andrew Lloyd Webber hit is back in the city for a limited time. It's playing at the Princess of Wales Theatre until June 3rd. This is a notoriously tough play for singing, but the production's main man, John Cudea, has what it takes to be the Phantom. Not only is he an amazing singer, but his voice just drips with emotion. The other characters were, less remarkable. The play's sound mixing wasn't the best either. Some characters were too loud, others were hard to hear. If you don't know the story, I suggest renting the movie before going to see the play. In group numbers where they all sing over one another, you don't have a hope of understanding the words. Regular listeners probably won't notice, but music geek types will be horrified by the show's musical production. The title song, Phantom of the Opera, used pre-recorded drum and pipe organ tracks. It's not as impressive as the original Toronto production, but don't let that keep you from running out and buying tickets if you've never seen it. It is a classic, and who knows how long we'll have to wait before the Phantom haunts Toronto again. That's all from me. We'll have the news with Erica Hogerward after the break.
Good evening. You are probably expecting me to say that my name is Count Dracula, and that I am a vampire. Do you know what makes a vampire? Do you really? It is not the hair. Bah. Greasy kid stuff. It's not the cape, made from your sister's side of Manchid. No, it's the fangs that make the vampire. Now you too can have the fangs. Dress up for parties. Frighten the trick-or-treaters on Halloween. These plastic marvels fit over your regular teeth. But once there, you'll be the hit of the party. Amaze and delight your girlfriend. It is so much fun. I know. So send for your fangs today. Send $2.98 to Fang, box 1001, Central City, Tennessee. Or dial toll-free 800-DRA-CULA. Order before midnight tonight. That's an order.
Welcome back, everyone. Looking at the weather outside our East York studios, it's overcast and 17 degrees. Now here are the headlines. Former Quebec ad executive Jean Lafleur has pleaded guilty to 28 fraud charges in the sponsorship scandal. Liberal leader Stéphane Dion is calling the Conservative government's emission plan a scam, and 172 Islamic militants suspected of planning terrorist attacks have been arrested by Saudi authorities. Now to our top story. Jean Lafleur played a central role in the sponsorship scandal that shook Canadian trust in the Liberal government. In 2004, Auditor General Sheila Fraser's report revealed that $100 million from the sponsorship program went to businesses that supported the Liberal government. Little work was done for the money. Lafleur was arrested April 5th in Montreal when he returned from Belize. According to the CBC, Lafleur became the subject of public ridicule in 2005. He invoked a faulty memory during testimony at the Gomery inquiry. He said he could not recall the details of his luxurious lifestyle. This included expensive dinners with influential liberals and the $13 million he received from government. Lafleur will remain in custody until arguments for sentencing are heard on June 1st. Opposition members of Parliament are unhappy with the Conservative government's new emission plan. Stéphane Dion says it's a scam that has abandoned the Kyoto Protocol. NDP leader Jack Layton is calling it a disappointment. The new plan requires most Canadian industries to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 18% in 3 years. This puts Canada 8 years behind the requirements of Kyoto. Canada ratified Kyoto in 2002. This breach means that Canadian industries will not be allowed to engage in international carbon trading. Liberal environmental critic David McGuinty says emissions will continue to rise for at least 5 years. Police have arrested close to 200 Islamic militants in Saudi Arabia. The Interior Ministry said today that they were trained to fly abroad. They also said the pilots were planning to attack Saudi oil fields. A statement from the ministry says the militants were planning to wage suicide attacks on public figures, oil facilities, refineries, and military zones. It also said that not all of the targets were in the Saudi kingdom. The locations were not specified. They also planned to storm prisons to release inmates. Two Canadians have returned home to Labrador after a harrowing ordeal in the Dominican Republic. Andrew and Don Sinnott were in Punta Cana for a wedding when they encountered trouble in paradise. Five or six local men started banging on the couple's hotel room shortly after they arrived. They accused the couple of stealing their cell phone. The men continued to accuse the Sinnotts of stealing their phone. They took the couple in an unmarked truck to a building with cells. Authorities say the building and the vehicle are not used by police. The Sinnotts were released after $1,000 was charged by the men to their credit card. The couple has issued a statement to Dominican Republic Police. And now we have this report about engineering students in Scarborough learning about engineering. Mio Tahakaya has this report.
The 2007 Popsicle Stick Bridge competition took place at the Scarborough Civic Center. It was hosted by Professional Engineers Ontario Scarborough Chapter. Project Manager Jason Edward organized this event.
The contest is for kids in elementary school to think about applying their skills in science to solve an engineering problem like construction of a bridge. The contest isn't easy because they only get popsicle sticks and then white glue, and a lot of them are only 8, 9, or 10 years old. But they're very creative. They make some very strong bridges.
David Graham is a grade 4 teacher at Sacred Heart Catholic School. He says children get to know about teamwork, management, and safety through the event. He helps them learn how to build a bridge.
We do research on the internet, show them movies about bridge building, and they do their own research at home. They took a lot of time, maybe about 3 weeks to 4 weeks. No part of the bridge was done at home, so parents couldn't help. They had to build entirely at school.
All children, parents, teachers, and volunteers seem to enjoy themselves. Lambert Singh is a student at Central Montessori School's York Mill campus. He says he learned a lot about bridge building.
We got 200 newtons. We should have made it more symmetrical because the guy over there said that when you're building a bridge, the most important thing is that it's symmetrical.
Volunteer members ask the children to take the bridge home and find out why it didn't work. This way, they will not make the same mistakes next year. Mio Tucker, Centennial College Radio News.
And that's the latest news. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great afternoon.